Once again, folks, on this great Sunday of July, welcome to the Hammer Time Radio Show, transmitting in the A. Handyman's Haven Radio Studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. Our Tucson location is at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That puts us six blocks south of 22nd Street. If you're heading southbound towards I-10, as an example, we're six blocks north, the big yellow building, which will be on your right side of the street. So stop in, say hello, discuss with us your DIY project, and we'll take it from there. Our phone number on location is 520-624-7200. Our hours of operation in Tucson generally are from 9 a.m. in the morning to 5 p.m. in the afternoon, Monday through Saturday. Tomorrow morning is a little unusual operation. Occasionally, we have to spend time offloading a 53-foot trailered semi. We'll offload about 400 cabinets as we increase our stock from that standpoint. So come on down, give us a whirl in Tucson, and we'll help you with the designing and the format of your area where you like to use cabinets. When individuals come in and say they want kitchen cabinets, what they basically are telling me that they would like to remodel their kitchen. If they want bathroom cabinets, it's a remodel of the bathroom. If it's garage cabinets, it's putting cabinets in a garage. So that's the adjective, especially an engineer as being a non-English major. I do know that the description of where you're going to put them normally precedes the discussion that we enter into. We have a Green Valley location, which is at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103. If you exit on the Duval Mine Road exit and head westbound, immediately transition into the east-west street that's there. And as you get on that east-west street, move immediately to the south or to the left to pick up the frontage road for the Duval Mine frontage roads. Then drive on down to 125 West Calle de las Tiendas. The phone number in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. The hours of operation are from 8:30 in the morning, generally speaking, to 4:30 in the afternoon. And being sensitive to the activities in Green Valley, we have those opening hours. The other thing that's ahead of us at the present time is that the Arizona Daily Star's Reader's Choice Award is up for voting. Some of you may be very well familiar with it. There's two methods of voting. A Handyman's Haven is in the process of receiving votes through the Arizona Daily Star system. They have had a glitch in the electronic phase. That's nothing new, I guess. So they've actually extended the voting period one day over the previous day. So one day is what they've extended it to from that standpoint. So vote once, vote many times with the various platforms that you have available. There's two methods of voting, of which you can vote from any and all platforms. They cannot be the same because the system does recognize the platform you're voting for. But if you're going to text, the phone number for texting when you go into your message unit on your cell phone is 520-214-8683. And then you get down to the message bar and you enter in 225, which is A Handyman's Haven, under the best cabinets and countertop division of home services. So when you first get to the area of the web, you want to enter into the search engine of Tucson.com / Reader's Choice. And I would also put 2019-2019. And then we, through the system, there'll be a bunch of large icons that are about 2 inches by 2.5 inches or so. Look for the home service icon, click on that. And then with the illustrious decision we made about 20 years ago, A will be at the top of the list. because it's a handyman's haven from that standpoint. So just go ahead and enter in 225 and we'll be recorded from that standpoint. So I do indicate to you that any platform that you have, you can vote once per day. So as an example, I got a few platforms at the store, and we could literally fire up every one of those platforms and vote. You can do that at home if you have multiple cell phones and various computers, so on and so forth. So we'd appreciate you voting for us and see if we continue the string of successes that we've had in the past and look for a 2019 selection process. Those individuals that did nominate us for other areas, which was rather interesting, I really appreciate that very much. One of them is the home remodeling and design area, so you're welcome to vote on that. And the other is hardware, and I thought that was very interesting. We do have a major hardware section at the store in Tucson. It's about 70 feet of all sorts of hardware. It's about 8 feet tall with various little compartments handling all the nuts and bolts and specific parts. We have had many people come in our store and look for specific parts. If we don't have it in stock, we'll get it in for you in time. If not, we can look for the ordering if it's available. And we have been extremely successful in that type of operation. So keep us in mind for the Reader's Choice Award voting. The easiest way is using your texting units and put that phone number in of 520-214, I have to look here, 8683. And then the text number as your message. You don't need to put in love or anything else like that. Just put in 225. And we would appreciate that. So what's going on at A Handyman's Haven? Well, probably the big thing that's going on at the present time period, we've increased our storage capability at the store by 6,000 cubic feet in order to house some of the additional cabinets that we plan on bringing in with this new company with the multiple designs and styles that they have available. Obviously, we're not going to bring them all in at once for the simple reason they have 1,800 different units per style, and they've got 30 styles. So all you have to do, folks, is multiply 30 times 1,800. And if we brought in one of each cabinet or one of each unit, that's what we'd have to store. So we will be on an ordering sequence with those 3 to 4 weeks out, which should be agreeable most of the time with individuals that are doing a major kitchen remodel or a cabinet remodel in the various parts of their home. The other thing that's very significant is that we have a tremendous repair facility. We can repair cabinet doors, drawer boxes, drawer fronts, generally speaking. If we cannot repair them, we can surely obtain for you a new product that will work very satisfactory in your system. And this seems to be happening almost on a daily basis as we become recognized with that type of facility that's available, and we can provide the repairs that a customer needs in order to complete the process of the home they just purchased or some destructive mechanism that may have occurred during the home. There are other things I'm going to talk about shortly, but being that we come upon our first break, I'm going to have John, take it away as soon as he gets off the telephone here, and we'll see you back after the break. So John Couch is our production engineer, very diligent in what he accomplishes. And so, John, you're all set up. Take it away, please. Well, welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show, and we'll get right with it at the present time. I see we have a caller on the line. Jack, welcome to the show. How may I assist you today?
Hey, Maurice, it's Jack, the guy that bought some pocket doors from you. So I've got a question. I just heard you talk about repairing cabinets and things like that. So we noticed in some of our drawers, even though these are really nice cabinets, the drawers don't react well with cast iron and things like that because they're very heavy. And over the years, they've pushed out the bottom of the drawers because they're affixed with glue and metal staples. So is that something you can work on as well?
We can work on it to see if we're able to repair it and stabilize it. The other item that I don't know how the drawer box is constructed, but back in the day, as Steve Rivera says, back in the day, a lot of it was done with MDF. It was done with miter joints. It was done with particle board, or the next one that they normally use for joining the system is a dado and a rabbet system, which is better than dovetail, being the ultimate. But we can get dovetail drawer boxes for you out of plywood, particle board, or out of hardwood from that standpoint if they need to be replaced. So we can take a look at those and make an assessment to see what you may need. And if they're all similar, all you need to do is bring down one of them, and we can take a look at that and analyze what your request would be.
I will do that and see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Appreciate your phone call very much in repairing. So along with that, a lot of times when we talk about drawer boxes, cabinet doors as an example, if you have exposed hinges on your cabinet doors, we can convert those to hidden hinges. The main manufacturer that came about this innovation years ago was the Blum Company, B-L-U-M, out of Austria. The Austrians are extremely innovative in what they can do and provide from various aspects. I do have a story I could tell you a little bit later concerning the Austrians and how they can provide certain things in certain areas. So we can do the drawer boxes, we can do the drawer fronts, we can do glide systems, we can convert your standard glides to full extension ball bearing glides. We can extend your drawer box for you. That's front to back. Most drawer boxes are in the vicinity of 19 to 20 inches. We can make them 22, which it gives you more storage on full extension glides. That means that you don't have to bend down to look to see what's in the back that's hidden. We can also soft close them for you. There are really no automatic closing drawer boxes or doors. They have to be initiated by a human in some aspect, but they may end up progressing to the closed position as a result of the initiation of the door or the drawer box. So a lot of people ask for self-closing. What they really mean is they're looking for soft close systems. The advantage of a soft close system is if you have some mental anguish going on at one time period and you decide you want to slam the drawer box shut, it's not going to allow you to slam it shut. It's going to hit the compression cylinder, and it's going to ease it right in so you don't damage anything. We've never blown out a compression cylinder, and I'm waiting for one of these days during our demonstration to have the compression cylinder blow a part of the sidewall. But that hasn't happened, so that's pretty good. So we can convert to standard hidden hinges. We can convert to soft close hidden hinges. One of the big situations that occurs is that people who have the exposed hinges are sort of the dull bronze looking hinge, and they would like to keep the hinge because that's be an easy process and change it over to satin nickel or brushed chrome or a lighter gray color from that standpoint. And some time ago we had a customer requesting that he had 50 some hinges that he wanted to transfer over to a lighter color. And through the diligence of phone calls and various aspects, we were able to locate a company whereby all the hinges of this one company were sold to another individual. And the interesting situation associated with that is that they were all the dull brass, bronze-looking hinge, and the overlay was totally different. And what I mean by the overlay, it's the overlap that the door is situated on top of the face frame. Because way back in the day, all the cabinets were face frame, except the Europeans, when they came out with their cabinets, they designed them with what we call a faceless cabinet. And the side panel, which is normally 5/8 or 3/4 of an inch thick, normally particle board, is the mounting of the system. Totally different hinge operation in order to get that system to work. But being at the present overlay today is normally a half inch or so. They are not easily acquired, and also to change from dull bronze to a silver looking or a dull chrome, the individual that I talked to back east indicated he knew an individual in the Midwest that you could mail, we could mail the hinges to him. He would take them apart because there are some plastic mounting systems in it, dip them in a solution of some sort that would remove the bronze, and then re-dip them back in to give you the color that you wanted. So he could make them red, blue, green, silver, whatever it happened to be. However, there is a cost associated with that, along with shipping. But using a customer's hinge, it was about $10 a hinge to get it taken apart and dipped and to come back out. So 10 times 50 is $500 for a set of hinges. And the customer, as he was watching his pennies, said, well, I think we'll just live with the present hinges. It's much more economical to convert it to hidden hinges, but that takes away the antiquity, so to speak, of your system that you're working with. And you may not like that sort of conversion from that standpoint. We can also put locks on the doors and drawers. we can put a magnetic lock on them, and therefore you have to sort of hide and seek or know exactly where the magnetic lock is in position. And that actually, when you put the opposite polarity of the exterior system up against the interior locking system, it releases the lock and you can pull the door open. We did this several times in the past, especially when a customer was interested in locking their drawer boxes because that's where they house their alcohol content in the home and wanted to make sure that their young participants in the home would not be able to get to it. So we got several ways of developing hidden latches, and from that standpoint. And recently, we also found about when you're involved with a full overlay system as well as the European look, and you do not want any handles or knobs sitting on your doors because you like to have that clean look, is how can you energize the door and have it flip open so you could put your fingers in there and pull it the rest of the way open? So we did find a latching system. It's spring-loaded. I've also seen those for regular doors that you could put a hidden latching system. You press it in and it locks it, and then you can hit it and it pushes it out. So those are also available. They are a little harder to come by. We were able to come by a certain number for the customer that wanted them on their European look cabinetry. So this is very important when it comes to upgrading your cabinet structure in your home or wherever it may happen to be, commercial or residential, that we can assist you that. So bring down your questions. Call here at the station at 790-2040, just like the previous caller did, and we'll try to answer it for you and see how we can go about solving your dilemma with that sort of operation. I know that many people come in highly distressed because there is half of the homebound individuals that says, nope, I don't want you to do that. You better get this done by somebody that needs to be looked professionally. Well, we try to do our best when it comes to that type of activity, and hopefully we can master that. So we do pretty good on stain matching and bringing raw doors in and then build them up to the stain that they need to be accomplished to make it blend in with the system. So we have to know what you need, and then we'll come up with a solution, and hopefully it will be satisfying to you. The next thing I want to talk about is, as we've talked about in the past, is laminate countertops. The cost of a laminate countertop, and most of us know from years past that Formica in the 1900s was the originator of the laminate countertop. That's nothing more than a photograph image that's on several pieces of paper as they build it up and then put a polymer system on the top of it that sort of restricts a lot of porosity of the countertops. And that means those type of countertops will not stain. Of course, if you wear through the countertop and wear through that top coating, you can very well develop staining because you're going to get into the porosity of the countertop itself. So using a regular dish rag or something, even though that's somewhat of an abrasive, be very careful of that and use one of the microfiber washing pads that reduces the amount of coarseness of the pad that you're using to wipe your countertop. So with that being in mind, we can set up for you 10 feet of countertop. Well, that's a pretty good length of countertop. They normally come in 8, 10s, and 12s. So I took the midpoint. We can sell you the basic countertop as far as the surface goes for $90. And when that summarizes up, you're looking at about 27.5 square feet. And I know you're going to multiply 2 feet times 10 feet, and you wonder how I got 27.5. And I guess you may say that that's magic math we learned at the University of Arizona in engineering school. That's supposed to be a funny, but there are backsplashes and other types of things that occur with countertops for all the material to be justified. So for $90 at 27.5 square feet, that's $3.50 a square foot when you want to use that in comparison to a granite or whatever it may happen to be. So you want to keep that in mind when you're looking for a countertop. We do have countertops that are a little bit more expensive with the surface that's available that actually looks like granite. So in other words, or marble or soapstone. What basically has occurred that due to digital photography today, they could get such accurate representative of the various surfaces that they're photographing and put that on a photographic image paper and then impress that on top of the substrate for the countertop, be it either particle board or plywood, particle board substrate being less expensive from that nature. So, and I can almost guarantee, I can't give you 100%, but if you're 10 feet away from one of those granite or marble or soapstone pictures, that you're not going to be able to tell whether it's a real natural stone or whether it's fake natural stone. That's how good the digital photography is and what it looks like. I do know that when we take our big 4x8 sheet down to the home show, the Saba home show, which will be coming up in the fall, that customers come by all the time and start running their hands over, and then they turn around and look at me and says, "This doesn't appear to be natural stone." I says, "No, you're right. It's not natural stone. It's Formica's laminate." So the advantage of laminate is less expensive, number one. Number two, we can do a lot more different things with it. We can get you seamless corners when you have a 45-degree corner. We can accomplish something like that for you. It's low maintenance. All you need to do is wipe it down. If you're concerned with buildup of algae in that, you can use Clorox or vinegar on the surface. It doesn't deter the furniture. It's stain resistant unless you wear right through the surface itself, which is really pretty difficult to do. And I say that justifiably. I have a laminate countertop. I maybe hate to admit this, but it's been on my home since 1970, and nobody has worn through the countertop, and nobody has stained the countertop after all these years. So anyway, tremendous advantages to a laminate countertop over natural stone. And we have many realtors that are buying and selling homes, and on a regular basis, we call them investors or house flippers or whatever it may happen to be, that they're putting these upgraded countertops on their cabinetry, and they had absolutely no difficulty at all selling a home because they look so pristine from that standpoint. Fakes everybody out when they come on in. Well, we completed the second segment of our show at this time period. Again, I'm Maurice from A. Handyman's Haven. We're transmitting on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. And John, have at it. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show, transmitting in A. Handyman's Haven's radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. Been talking a little about laminate countertops, and the extension of the laminate countertop is that for many of the homes, we can develop, if they have a right angle countertop, as an example, a corner involved, we can make that a seamless corner for you. Most people try to shy away from laminate countertops because of the poor installation or the expansion contraction of the home throughout the years that it's been in existence. And as a result of that, the seam comes separated. So we can make that a seamless seam for you. We do misalign the laminate seam on the surface with the substrate seam that's underneath. and to take care of that. On a regular countertop where it requires a miter itself, we can completely upbuild those countertops. We can do the miter cut for you. We can put the end caps on it, and all straight cuts are complimentary from that standpoint. We can sell you the material. You could take it home and do it yourself, or you could have us do it for you. So a little earlier I talked about what has been happening down at A. Handyman's Haven, and we increased our storage capability. Was it about 6,000 cubic feet? We did that by bringing in two shipping containers, and it sounded like it was going to be a pretty simple operation, but it took us a while to put it all together. Is how do you thread a needle with a shipping container? And that's about what it boiled down to. These shipping containers are 8 feet by almost 10 feet tall and 40 feet in length. And so we hired a crane as an example. And the crane company, the driver of the in the control cab was absolutely excellent. Our employee that was directing the movement of where the containers need to go, with such precision in order to accomplish that, they probably raised the container some 50, 60 feet in the air to get it over one of our warehouse buildings and then turned it around and dropped it between two other buildings with a tree on the backside. And it was just so majestic. I was in awe of watching that type of activity. In doing that, we've increased our storage capability. We'll do something to assist in the insulation of the containers to reduce the heat load on whatever we store in it. But it reminded me of years ago. I've got a cousin on my mother's side that was born and raised in West Mineral, Kansas. That's in the southeast corner of the state of Kansas, just west, so to speak, of Joplin, Missouri, right along that same line. I don't know whether it was the home to all strip coal mining or not, but they surely did a lot of strip coal mining, either with a drag line bucket or with a front-loading bucket. And when we went out to the visit, as he was showing me around, he was the chief electrician on this unit. And one tread, in other words, one part of the tread would cover one railroad car. That's how big this unit is. The bucket is 100 cubic feet. And if you can imagine what 100 cubic feet looks like, it dwarfs almost anything that you can imagine. And we had to take an elevator up to the control deck. Now, if this was the case on an airplane, which I'm used to, we would take an elevator up to the flight deck. But this, I'm going to call it the control deck. And up there, controlling this, was a 70-year young man. And I say that because he had to use his four limbs, you know, two legs and two arms, in controlling this unit, and it never missed a beat. It was smooth. It was precise. He would pick up the overburden. It was an overburden removal type operation while they get down to the slice of coal that's available. So they picked up a full container, approximately 100 cubic foot container, picked it up and then dumped it over to the side, then came back on around, lowered it back in, tucked it back in up against the belly of the unit, and then went down and scooped at the unit out. 100 cubic foot of dirt. Boy, if you want to know how big that is, just chart it out at home with your type of thing. You could drive an automobile in that type of operation. So it reminded me the majestic performance of the crane operator along with our employee that had some familiarity in the construction industry of loading lumber up on the top of roofs and doing it extremely majestically. I was in awe. Of course, I'm a nut when it comes to machinery and things of that nature, so that really was very satisfying to me from that standpoint. I'd like to emphasize again the Reader's Choice Award. If you'd like to call and text our vote-in, you can set up the number 520-214-8683. Go down to the message and just put in the three digits, 225. Hit the send button, And you can do that once every day per cell phone that you have available with a form of texting. If you want to go to the web, you can go to the web at tucson.com/readers-choice. I would put 2019 behind it. And then as you come onto the main web page, you would just scroll down till you pick up Home Services. And under Home Services, on the left-hand side will be the menu category. And look for Best Cabinets and Countertops. Select that. And being that we start our name with A, we'll probably be close to the top of the list at A Handyman's Haven. And then go ahead and vote. Much appreciated from that standpoint as we gain the recognition in the Tucson metropolitan area or the Southern Arizona metropolitan area on the fine service that we provide for each customer from that standpoint. At this time period, I'm going to talk a little bit about innovation of home designs. And there's a lot of things going on today, especially in the green environment that is occurring. Lots of new acronyms that I have heard about. Rather hard to find them on the web, as many of us know that it's difficult to... The web thinks it knows what it wants you to look at, but they don't know. So I did recognize that DOE stands for the Department of Energy, and then you can go to the Building Technologies Office in order to take a look at what has taken place. So the National Association of Home Builders, along with the Meritage Homes as the builder, addressed five drivers, as they say, in housing. And this is a try to develop a what they call a net zero home. And what they mean by net zero is that all the energy that you produce within the home will be used to drive all the energy that you need to take care of everything involved in living in your home. By 2020, as an example, they hope to be able to set up the entire situation from a water standpoint. That's going to be rather challenging from my point of view, is how are you going to get the water? Everybody's not going to be drilling a well or whatever it happens to be. We sort of got away from that sort of stuff. But the five drivers in the housing industry today is to inform the home buyers, and that's what they plan on doing between now and the end of 2020, is assisting the home buyers on what is going to occur with the utilities costs as you go on through life. Also to let you know about zero energy ready. So what does a home look like to be zero energy ready? And that is quite extensive from that standpoint. Obviously, a lot of it has to do with insulation, has to do with the windows, it has to do with the ceiling, has to do with the roof type stuff. In the water area, we're talking about harvesting water. Where is it going to come from? Consumer experience, and that means that's us folks, is what is our experience in assessing what we need in order to obtain a home that has the potential of being a net zero. Offsite production. What are we going to have to do to get offsite production in order to accomplish this? One may be getting a generator, as an example, in order to supply the power, back it up with a battery system as batteries become more viable and sustainable, whereby you can take care of all those electrical energy problems. You can do solar photovoltaic on the top of your building or in your parking lot that you may have. That'll give you a nice covering for your automobiles. So that's important. And then there's the housing situation, what's called the aggregator. Boy, you talk about coming up with a definition of a term. It's difficult to figure out what an aggregator is. I tried to look it up on the web to figure out, and it came up to, there's a company that is ResNet.com that starts talking about that, but they really don't define an aggregator. And I would suspect I'm going to have to go to Webster to figure out what an aggregator really means from that standpoint. So there are homes and programs available set up by the Department of Energy to have zero energy ready homes. And another certification is required that the renewable living home can achieve that operation. As most of us know, in Tucson here with Tucson Electric Power, you can get an all-electric home. And when you design a home of that nature, Tucson Electric Power is intimately involved in the design of your home, and they certify what your electrical output is going to be, and there is some sort of warranty attached to that type of operation. So we are coming close to those things as far as electricity goes, and water is the other one from that standpoint. But between now and 2020, the end of 2020, it's going to be an education environment as we're going to hear more and more about this. These five topics that have been discussed that I just mentioned to you are outlined by the collaborating and suppliers of the design team to create a multi-generational home that offers a higher level of efficiency. Most of us know in the industry itself that 80% of your heat loss and heat gain in your house goes vertical. So that would indicate that 20% goes horizontal. In my infinite wisdom of utilizing technology and numbers, that if 80% goes vertical, that maybe the majority of your money should insulate the vertical portion. And that means the ceiling joists itself. That may also mean the roof rafters. We have had many incidences over the years in working with the restoration companies that a lot of people have terminated their evaporative cooler, and this is one specifically, and killed a pipe up in the roof thing, put it back down into the roof rafter system, the little attic that may be there. They went on vacation over Christmas, came home, and their entire house was flooded, and that was the February where we had extreme cold weather, and nobody knew that there was a water line up there with water pressurized in it. Of course, it broke, and the entire house was basically destroyed from a water standpoint. All the drywall, all the doors, all the door jams, all the kitchen cabinets, and everything else. So it can get to be rather difficult. I know that I've insulated my house, the roof rafters, as well as the ceiling joists, and I probably have close to R80 on my roof. And it's just amazing how I can control the air conditioning system to reduce the cost on a monthly basis. Well, we've completed our third segment, and we'll have Mr. John Couch take it away on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Welcome back to AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Something came up earlier in discussion about the frequencies and the hour stopping, so to speak, and putting in the announcements and the station identification. As an aviator, we were instructed not to utilize AM and FM stations because they do not identify themselves in a continuous fashion. So I thought it was rather interesting when Bustos Media took over the radio station here in Tucson that they want us to advertise the frequency, and along with the verbiage that follows that. And I know as an aviator, yes, there's a lot of radio stations out there that could be used, but being that they only gave their identifier once per hour, they were really non-effective and non-efficient for us to navigate across the country or whatever it happened to be. And it's extremely significant if you happen to be in weather and you're waiting for identifier to come up and you can't get it for an hour. That's very disastrous as far as navigation goes and not very astute. So I compliment Bustos Media in requesting that we advertise AM 1030 as we leave and enter back into our segments. So from that, we've been talking about innovation in home design. There's lots of things on the web. In summation, by 2020, they hope to start certifying homes in water, which I think is sort of interesting. Surely it would be a lot easier maybe to certify it in electricity to develop a home-ready, a zero net utilization of energy. So keep that in mind, folks, as you go out and try to find a home that you'd like to buy, and take that into consideration, remembering that the heat loss and heat gain is going to go vertical. Minimum amount of that is going to go horizontal. The other thing is one of our vendors that we work with is Hardware Resources. Hardware Resources is an extremely innovative company in that they've been very astute in recognizing the termination of patents that have been set up, which are international patents as well as domestic patents. And when those patents expire, which there are time limits on a patent, anybody can pick up that item and produce something that will be similar to it, and then they can get a patent on that if it's somewhat different than the original unit. So we've got a company that works on that quite regularly. I probably have mentioned this before, that their initial catalog was only about a quarter inch thick. Today it's almost 2 inches thick in the catalog. So they really try to help the homeowners, especially aging in place, with all sorts of organizational equipment. They realize that the baby boomers and the Gen Xers are more active than previous generations, and we find that all people seem to be very active when it comes to developing efficiency in their kitchens. Every now and then, I do find a customer that comes into the store that is not objecting to getting on their hands and knees and looking at it with a flashlight at nighttime to see what's in the bottom of a cabinet. And I just am amazed when they say, oh, that's not a problem. Well, time will dictate what the scenario is going to be as it goes on. And it's sort of a shame in one aspect that our insight into what's going to take place with us as we increase our maturation level, that we ought to think about making things more efficient and easier for us in moving throughout the area that where we're going to have cabinets. So a lot of metals are important. The typical metals that we use for various aspects are brushed oil rub bronze, brushed pewter, polished chrome, and satin nickel. One of the difficulties that we have is that if you want to change out a handle, as an example, the span of the handle where the screw comes through the drawer box into the front of the drawer front, that they're not going to line up with the present day handles. So that may require some ingenuity. One thing that we can do is try to find a plate that will cover up the back part of where the handle is mounted, and therefore give it a present look. One other thing that occurs with handles and knobs, and I can truly understand why customers are not excited about any handles and knobs, because we have had requests lately to develop scenarios. I did mention one earlier, whereby no handles and knobs are needed under any cabinetry, open or close the systems. So with that being in mind, we can work on developing that for you, that where we can set that system in operation. But what'll occur in most cases with a handle or a knob is that as you push your handle, your fingers underneath the handle, that chances are you're going to scrape the fingernail on the cabinet finish. And with that being in mind, you're going to damage the surface of the cabinetry. And in time, it's going to look very well like something has damaged underneath the handle itself. One way to eliminate that is go to a cup handle, whereby when you do insert your fingers underneath there, the cup is going to cover that up. And a knob will do the same thing. As you push your hand to the base of the knob, which will be where the front face of the cabinet door is, that your fingernails will scratch the cabinet. And when you start scratching that cabinet, you'll get down to the bare wood, and then you're going to have a distortion in coloring of the stain operation that you have there. So those are some things that need to be considered with the hardware and things of that nature. We have lots of hardware available that we could work with you on, along with the various techniques that I've been discussing today. Push button open of house doors, push button open of cabinet doors. I know I had two doors at home that were operated off of push buttons. These were actually 1 3/8-inch hollow core doors, 80 inches tall and about 30 inches wide as we entered into various portions of the home. And they worked very satisfactory over the period of time. I had hidden hinges on them, which is the sauce hinges. That's a Sierra Alpha, Sierra Sierra, are rather expensive, but they can also provide hidden hinges for you that so the door is not present as far as the hinging goes. The door is going to be present, but the hinging operation is not going to be there. Lately, I've used the compact hinging system that is used on cabinetry, and that's easy to accomplish with the Bloom hinges because there's a tremendous offset available, about a 1 3/8-inch offset that allows a regular household door to function properly and also be an inset door from that standpoint. So lots of things are available, folks, from that. Come on down and discuss it with us, and we'll try to solve your dilemmas from that standpoint. I'd like to round out the end of our program here with the single-family homes that are produced or available in the United States make up one-third of the rental stock. That's pretty significant. You know, 33.3% of the single-family homes are rentals. It may be even higher in certain areas than in other areas. So keep that in mind when you're buying a home or setting up an Airbnb or whatever it may happen to be. I'd like to end in discussing with you again about the Reader's Choice Award. We at A Handyman's Haven would appreciate you voting. If you if you go into your texting system and use the phone number 520-214-8683 and text 225. We're coming to the end of the program, folks. Next in line is Jeff Prather of the Prather Point. I know he's going to have some fine information for us about what's going on in our United States of America. And we'll see you next week and have a great weekend. Come on down to the store and see us, and we'll give you a tour.